Best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach, Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question. Which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now. Hello, friends. I'm so excited about this episode of Your Book, My Time. We will be talking interior design, but more than that, we'll be talking about beauty, external beauty and internal beauty, as I have begun to delve into this world because of my guest. I have really begun looking around me with a different view, with a different lens about how our space can actually support our lives. I am absolutely delighted to bring on my guest, Jana Rosenblatt, who is the owner of an award-winning design firm in California, Jana Design Interiors. Hello, Jana.
Hi, Susan. So nice to see you.
So nice to have you here. Jana is the author of a new book out called The Future Interior Designer's Handbook. This is such a wonderful opportunity to expose young people, but really not just young people, because I read all of your reviews and talk about how it's great for adults as well, mm-hmm. to delve into the world of interior design. So Jana, how long have you been in this world?
I've been an interior designer for more than 20 years. I segued in from my first career, which was design for film and television. And just as I was beginning to look for what was next after a long career doing that kind of work, I was really blessed that something came up for me that had all of the same skills, but a little more control over my life. And so I started my own company, and then I learned how to do what I'm doing.
I love that. That's women's wisdom, baby. I started my own company and then I learned to do what I'm doing, but that's because of intuition. And that's why I love working with women business owners. I especially love working with women business owners who are in, shall we say, the second half of life, because we really are allowing that intuition to rise. And you mm-hmm. became an award-winning firm a few years ago already. Yep. And now you have this wonderful book. So I want to invite you, Jana, what is the story behind the story of your book, The Future Interior Designer's Handbook?
So interestingly, about, I don't know, probably 30 years ago, I went to a psychic one day, and she told me that I was going to write a book someday. And I put that into the back corners of my mind. It was something I just did because it was fun. And a lot of us were, you know, my friends were doing it at the time. And I didn't even think about it. I didn't even read that much in those days. I've become an avid reader now in my later years. But you know, there was this little germ of a thought. And right before the pandemic, which was amazing timing, I got a call from a woman who I had seen as a coach in my interior design business a couple of pivotal times in my career. And she really had made a lot of great changes with me. And she had written a book for this publisher called Schiffer Publishing, and they were looking for an interior designer that illustrated. And I had shown her different, you know, things throughout the year that I had illustrated, other small, you know, projects, and so she knew that that would, you know, might be a good fit. So all of a sudden, I was presented the opportunity to do the second one in a series of books that they have. The first one was the Future Architects Handbook for people who are interested in this kind of career, and they were looking for an interior designer to do the same thing. So it was kind of great because it gave me an outline. I mean, having never written a book before, it was got great to kind of have a prototype to look at. And then they were kind of wonderful because they weren't asking me to duplicate this other book style. They were asking me to bring to it what my field had to say about the process of determining whether you wanted to be an interior designer, and then, you know, the skills it would take to do that. And it was kind of wonderful to see that line up before me. You know, I and in many ways I realized how far I had come, because all of a sudden I'm talking about you know, what gave me the germ of thought to be what I wanted to be, and you know, color theory, and we do, you know, talk about style, we talk about the relationship between interior design and architecture, and developing the personality of the client. And it was, you know, it's geared toward children from 8 to 12, but I intentionally didn't want to be writing it to only that audience. And I think a lot of people have been finding it a real, you know, kind of fun thing to take a look at.
You know, interior design, also fashion and styling, but interior design is one of those things that I think people have this like secret interior designer in
Yep,
them,
that's right.
right? I know, you know exactly what I'm talking
Yeah,
about.
yeah.
I don't happen to be one of those people. I feel like unconfident
Yeah.
and insecure about those things. It's never been my thing per se. But my own daughter's fiance, Jess, has become my interior designer here, even though he's never been formally trained, because he is one of those people who has that sort of sense and sensibility. But I know many people who are aspiring interior decorators or interior designers. And I really love this book for that purpose. You know, you say you wrote it for ages 8 to 12. So it's not like a little child's, you know,
No.
book.
Yeah,
And
and they have, you know, the publisher has categories of their books. They do books for people of all ages. And so it was kind of great because they have experts who knew where the language had to be. And you know, I had an editor assigned to me. And you know, my theory from the beginning of the idea of doing it was, if anything else, it's a master's degree in how to do a new thing that I hadn't done before that I could do more of. So it was an amazing opportunity in that regard.
And that's another thing I have loved about our discussions, Jana, as I have gotten to know you through this process. I have loved your impetus, your agency, your excitement, your enthusiasm for growing yourself, you know, doing new things that exactly like you just described. Just for your information, other people would have been too afraid to do
Well, yeah,
that.
that didn't occur to me. Yeah, which is a, you know, I'm realizing I've just learned so much about myself through this process. Not only that I, you know, engage with things with sort of 2 feet forward before I stop to think about what the ramifications might be, but you know, also just determining the outlets and finding new outlets for, you know, talents that I have. Instead of only channeling one part of me at a time, I get to, you know, kind of dabble in everything that I want to do.
I mean, it's not only that you want to do, but that you're apparently, you know, called to do. You don't get to be a award-winning design firm and get invited to make a book like this. And also, we can talk about your podcast, your amazing podcast. I love the concept of it. We'll talk about that in a second. But you don't get to do that without some kind of intuition around the subject matter. Even when you said you were designing sets and things, it's still designing, of course. So there's flair, there's but and underlying this is so much of my work, which is permission and self-permission for you to rise as both a human and also as a person in business and business owner. I wanted to really just hit for a second on the idea that you talked about. I keep looking down because I take notes and I'm writing my notes. You mentioned color theory, style, and style. And then you also talked about the developing personality of the client. These are some of the threads that are built into the book.
Right.
And so I wanted to give you a few minutes to talk about these threads, these principles built into your book.
Well, interestingly, I've always been really glad that my educational process was not directly for what I'm doing now, but it led me to where I am now. What I mean by that is when I was in school to be a designer for film, television, and stage, I was learning how to identify a lot of different people's needs, the director, the producer, and the material, as well as developing characters. And it has allowed me to have an interior design business that looks at the person that I'm working with, the client, and bring out their character and develop, the people always ask you when you're an interior designer, what's your look? What's your style? Well, my look and style is your look and style. And I don't want it to look like my house. I don't want everything I do to look like I've done it before. I want it to look like, what it takes to make my clients' dreams come true. And so that background has informed what I'm doing now. All I had to do was, in the transition really was learn that walls are thicker than 2 inches. For sets, they're just flats. But once I understood, the differences, and I've always had a passion, for architecture and seeing it, observing it, and feeling what it feels like to be in different architectural spaces. So bringing kind of all of that background and my fine art background together into this book, it's, I didn't even realize while I was going through it, what is an amazing thing it is that I did. I'm sort of still like, whoa, what? So it's an amazing thing. It's like, it's a book and it's right.
Well,
there.
I am the confidence coach and I love everything about calling out. I didn't even realize what an amazing thing I did. In part, it's because you're also an illustrator.
Yep.
And you have these adorable illustrations. And you did talk about the working with your clients. I wrote down, my look and style is your look and style. Mm-hmm. Because it's a little bit bespoke, I think the word is, or custom. Mm-hmm. You are like gleaning in your intuitive process with a new client what's coming up for them, what it is that will support, I guess I might say, really support them as humans, their lives, the lives they lead in the space that you're designing. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great, reflection back of how I see what I'm doing. And it's just, while you're talking, I realized the other thing that was really great about my education in a theatrical realm was that, the programs teach you how to draw. There are computers now that do all of these things. And I'm hoping that the programs that people are going through now don't completely erase all the education I got. Because when I was in theater design school, I learned to draw, and drawing was our communication. And, I always had some talent, but I learned how to use it as a communication tool. And that is what I now have to rely on as an illustrator. I had never really drawn for art's sake, but I had learned to draw as a communication tool, and it serves me well. It serves me well as a designer, but it also, means I have another marketable skill. Who knew?
Yeah, absolutely. I love drawing as a communication skill. I actually have a client right now who draws what she calls them pictograms. Uh-huh. And it's amazing, Jenna, because she's doing what you're doing, the illustrations. Yeah. She's illustrating health processes. If you have diabetes, there's things that you need to do to take care of yourself. She has hundreds of these pictograms for health-related concerns. And so I can't think of anything more important than drawing as a communications tool. Mm-hmm. And I also hope that we don't lose that in that.
I know. And, you know, especially because we're in a world where people, you know, don't read more than what's on the screen at one time. So, you know, you got to be able to communicate visually in certain, you know, realms, in certain fields. And that sounds like she's really adapting a communication tool that is really necessary.
Yes, I love that. I'm so excited about my work with her. But you just said the thing that I think is so important about writing. I'm sorry to say this, but I am going to say it, you know, yeah. we have to say, Jana, that there are many people for whom it's easier, let's say it this way, for whom it's easier to read something at the 8 to 12-year-old level.
Yeah.
Not because they're stupid. No, not because of that, but because we're busy, because we're on the digital so much and our minds are full, our hearts are heavy in some cases for various reasons. And so it may just be easier. I love this about this book, The Future Interior Designer's Handbook. Mm-hmm. I love that we would be speaking out to anybody, not to see it as a children's book, but that it might be a useful tool to use for developing your own interest.
Yeah, it's very interesting in that regard because, you know, I grew up dyslexic, so reading was a challenge for me. I'm still dyslexic, but I've learned how to rise above it greatly. So it never occurred to me that I would be a person that would put words together and articulate a book. But I've married a writer, and his philosophy always was, and whether he's editing a letter I wrote or a proposal or anything, is less is more. So he taught me how to cut out all the extra words, which was really useful. Even though I think I first sent my editor, the first draft was like, you know, 80 written pages, and we have to come down to 48 pages with the illustrations, right? So, you know, but it did, I mean, believe me, it could have been worse if I didn't, you know, use that philosophy. But then, and then she was able to make sure that the words were identifiable, you know, for a broad range of people. But it's not like it's baby talk. It's, you know, it's just plain old language. It's just straightforward. And you know, as a tool, that's a great learning tool in terms of my writing.
I mean, as you know, the second question that I ask every author is, why is your book worth my time? You know, my book show podcast is your book, my time. And we're really having this part of the conversation is so important. I have a client who is an interior designer on the side. She has a really great day job in something like tech or finance, or I can't really remember because that's not my work with her, but she has some kind of big day job. But in her heart, she's an interior designer. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with her on her business development and really moving from it being it's kind of unrequited love hobby.
Passion.
I know you understand that. And it's now I just realized, Jana, I think if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to talk about her ages, but she's kind of, you said you started 20 years ago. I think that's the space that she's in. And so working with her also, in addition to knowing about you, being on your beautiful website, listening to your podcasts, which I want to talk about for sure. I did just move into my own space in the last year. Mm-hmm. And so I've been forced to be in that
space. Transition.
The transition. But also, Jana, it's not just the transition. It's seeing through this lens. What your book does, you know, it helps you with the color theory, you know, like to get more confident, to get more brave, you know, to have more impetus to put on this lens, that's what I call it, to see the space around you in beauty and supporting. You said what it takes to make my clients' dreams come true, you know, for the space that they live in. So I'm seeing that she gifted me a consult.
Oh, great.
For one of my rooms. And I'm like, my room is so small, this and that. But between our discussions over this time and your book and your website and hers, I'm really seeing things in a field of color. Now, I want to invite you to share about your podcast. It's crazy. I love it. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to go back for one moment. And okay. Even though you really answered your own question about your book, my book, Your Time, yes. The other thing that really occurs to me is that, you know, when I was a young girl with all of these talents that I got to, you know, play with my crayons and play with my fabrics and play with my scissors and do all of those things. And I very early on started to try to figure out how I could keep doing it all my life as a grown-up. And I didn't consider interior design as one of the fields I could go into because it was a little bit silly. It was silly from on television. There were TV shows that made it silly. And, you know, I didn't feel like there was a real framework there for me. And so I looked, I don't know how I really found theater and film and television and, you know, that kind of applied use of my skills, but I did, and I'm glad for that. But I think that what I was excited about, and I still am about this book, is that it does map out that it's a real field with real parameters. I mean, it's a little bit funky because it's a field that's like the Wild West. Every interior designer makes up their own rules. And there are some organizations and some affiliations, but you know, we charge what we want, we charge what the market will bear, and we create all of our own parameters as per our own businesses. So I kind of feel like it gives a little bit of a rooting to the potential of the field. And, you know, maybe, you know, I wouldn't have been afraid to look into it as take it seriously before. And in fact, I am always run into people who say, yeah, you know, I started design school and then, or, you know, or yeah, I always wanted to be an interior designer. And so, you know, I think that that's what is makes it a book worth reading for all, you know, for many different ages and certainly a book worth gifting. So now my podcast.
Wait, I have to say that was, in my parlance, ridiculous. That when something rises to like amazingness, yeah. I say that's ridiculous because, wow, I'm in the world of legacy. My mm-hmm. website is called What Will Your Legacy Be? Yeah. And for you to have sewn together, brought together the threads from your young life all the way to today and to be, if you forgive the expression, a mature influencer in the industry. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of how this book will have that impact. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, okay. And thank you for, you know, your framing up what you do as legacy has helped me understand what I've accomplished. I mean, I'm really, you know, just having talked to you a couple of times, I'm far beyond where I was with that realization that I have something, you know, really, really specific and kind of wonderful to share. And actually that leads me into my podcast.
Yeah.
I've been doing a 52 episode podcast called From Disaster to Dream Home. The reason that it's a 52 episode framework is because there are 52 weeks in a year and you can build a new home from the ground up in the course of a year. I did it for many years with developers who were looking to sell their homes after we designed them and built them. And then I started to, you know, I live in Southern California, a lot of things happen. And over the past couple of years, specifically during the pandemic, I've worked with people who are needing to rebuild because they lost their homes to fire. So I took this sort of framework of a list of what you do every week for the 52 weeks that you're building a new house, what you have to do to stay ahead of the contractors. So very often it's best when I'm attached to a project before it's finished the permitting stage, but after the architect has done most of their work, so that you can still nip and tuck things because architects and interior designers see things a different way. And having the combination of both those brains is a really powerful way to get really what you actually intended to be, you know, a three-dimensional home. And to take people who have lost literally everything and help them understand that by staying ahead of the game, they're going to get what they want. And to be able to, you know, most people look at plans, but they don't really know how to read them. So I start out as an interpreter And then I become super functional as a, you know, get it done kind of influence in that process. And when I got the opportunity to do a podcast for a year, I was like, wait a minute, I have something that spans a year. I have a structure already. And so I started from the beginning stages of when the disaster strikes, your insurance people, and navigating some of the financial aspects. And then we go through actually the week by week process of the things we do. You have to, you know, you have to walk before you run. Well, you also have to, you know, plan your windows and doors, and you have to plan your the footprint and your walk, your space plan, and how it affects what you want to accomplish in your life. And then all of a sudden it becomes about, you know, choosing tile and cabinets and designing all of your plumbing fixtures. That's, you know, an early part of the structure. And because I kind of have that that timeline, I just kept inviting, I keep inviting experts in each different field. And right now we're almost done. We have 17 episodes to do. And by the end of it, we'll have completed the house. So we're at the point in time where the drywall is being closed up. And you're probably about 3 months away from being completed. And the kinds of things that now pull together all the decisions that, you know, that you've had to make throughout the process. And, you know, because I have the courage, having done a book, I'm hoping that then what this will do is become a book that people can use as a tool. And, you know, it's unfortunately, it's a need that's growing in our world, you know, rebuilding after all kinds of things, you know, occur to you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be having another conversation when that right. progress for sure. I love the idea of what you said. One of my clients has actually just bought a house and gutted the whole house and is going through this process. And I thought, oh, she'd be so happy. She does have an interior designer working with the architect and everything. But I love also how much exposure there is. I love bringing in the professionals. I love everything about that. Let me ask, we just have a few more minutes. Where can people find you? And what is it that you really want people to do if they buy this book? I hope they'll buy this book. It's so great for yourself and a second a copy to give. Mm-hmm. What do you want people to do as a result of reading this book?
So of course they can get the book on Amazon. That's, you know, it's for sale, which is really, you know, an amazing thing to Google yourself. And there you are. So it's easy to get a hold of the book, especially it's still, you know, it's definitely in the warehouses. It's fairly brand new. And, you know, I would love for people to share it, you know, to get it and to share it. And, you know, you're always welcome to do a review on Amazon and let me know what, you know, you're thinking. And there are ways through Amazon to contact us, although I have two websites where you can also contact me. My main website for my interior design business is janadesigninteriors.com. And then my podcast can be, you can find all of the episodes to date of my podcast and see a lot of our work on fromdisastertodreamhome.com. Both of those are great ways to be able to get in touch with me. And specifically, I'm actually looking for someone. My next goal is to be able to do the podcast for another full year of 52 episodes, but attached to a specific project. So if someone is at the beginning of that phase, they're finishing with their architect and they have not yet poured the foundation of the home, and they are looking for an interior designer to work with, and if they're not, they should be. I would love to be able to hear about that, because I'd love to be able to work with someone in real time and do another series of episodes of the podcast as it applies to a specific project going through the process.
Oh, I love this. You know, I told you when we reconnected, full disclosure, Jenna and I went to summer camp together many years ago. And when we reconnected and I started learning about what you're doing and the expansive mindset that you have mm-hmm. for personal growth and development and business growth and development, I love everything about it. So I love that you're actively calling in a new project that you are ready, willing, and able to participate in and partner in, and then do a 52-episode podcast about that project. So I want to say thank you. I put the right in the comments as you were talking, mm-hmm. the name of the book and the name of your business right. and the name of your podcast. Mm-hmm. I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a delight and a pleasure. I 100% am already looking forward to our next conversation on the book that you'll be putting together mm-hmm. from your podcast. I'm all about that. And I certainly will be staying tuned, Jenna. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This has been an amazing and joyful experience.
Always good to see you. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.